Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, your community hospital with a rich heritage that dates back to before New Mexico was a state. We've been improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. As a nonprofit hospital, San Juan Regional Medical Center is a values-driven organization. We strive to deliver on our mission to personalize health care and create vitality and enthusiasm in healing. We are here for you when you need us, offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services. Well, let me turn to my guest who's here with me in the studio this morning. Warren Unziger is back with me for his regular monthly visit. Good morning.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me this morning.
Appreciate it. You bet. Good to have you here. And it's been a busy week already for a lot of folks.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, we've got a lot going on this last couple weeks, actually.
Yeah. But I want to ask you about one thing in particular, which happened, I think, just Tuesday at the County Commission meeting, and that is the vote on the right to work ordinance.
Right, right.
And the County Commission voted in favor of that. I think it was 4-1.
Correct. And a lot of that was around the desire, the hope that it would give us a bit of a competitive advantage as a region. We are surrounded by right to work states and have other right to work areas in the state as well.
Other counties that
have approved that. And so it was viewed, I think, by the commission as something that might just give us that one little edge as we continue to try and diversify the economy. And so we'll just have to kind of wait and see how that plays out and if it brings some fruition from that.
So. All right. And from the conversations that I've heard both for and against this type of thing, the idea behind this type of an ordinance would mean that workers that are part of a union type organization are not forced to join the union. They have the choice of joining or not joining.
Right, right. And the unions likewise have the choice of being the sole representative or, you know, being a private, you know, separate entity that they can, you know, basically employees can choose to be, kind of go solo or go join the union themselves.
Right.
And that kind of gives that freedom there. So yeah, that's the understanding of that right to work legislation or ordinance in
this
case.
And the commission approved this. And so again, as you mentioned, in your experience, there are some economic development opportunities where folks are looking for places that have something like this already in the books.
There are site selectors that have clients that will specifically say, you know, please just kind of wipe the map of anyone that isn't in this realm. And so it does have an opportunity to meet the needs of specific clients out there that we potentially have been just kind of being left off the radar for. So.
Gotcha. And so we heard a lot about economic development during the build-up to this vote, I think, and that was the reason this was being presented.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least one of them that I've heard.
Yeah.
The counter-argument would be wages and things like that. It may be harder to get representation by unions or make it harder for unions to argue for better wages for their workers, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I know that the commission asked point blank, you know, would you choose if you were, you know, given the option to still join the union if you didn't have to, and most everyone raised their hand.
Right.
And so it really just comes down to whether or not they choose to take advantage of that service, which, you know, if it's usually good services and things that are benefits that they can take advantage of.
So. Without that, they would be forced, I guess, to join the union. Isn't that true?
No, not necessarily. No, that's actually illegal. They can't be forced to join the union.
Well, that's good then.
But they can be asked to pay kind of a fee in lieu of to a certain degree.
Got you. That's the difference.
You're correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it is now the law of the land here in San Juan County after the county commission vote this week. So we will see if that proves to maybe bring some more economic development to the area. I think all of us would like to see more jobs in the area, whether or not it's because of right to work or not. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about some other things that you're doing with Four Corners Economic Development. You have a survey on your website regarding the Futures Forum that you held.
This is a continuing, ongoing effort. You know, this is in follow-up to the November Future Forum that was held here at the college. And this is an opportunity for the public to be able to weigh in on the strategies that came out of not only the Future Forum, but also we took upon ourselves as a group to review all of the strategic plans and SEDS documents or economic development plans of the regional entities.
This is beyond the borders of New Mexico and San Juan County. So you are bringing in Southern Colorado?
Right. Colorado, Arizona, Navajo Nation, Utah, Pueblos, tribes from all around, and looked at what are their strategic priorities. And how do those match up with what we came out of with from the forum? And with that, we came up with about 20 different strategies that kind of rose to the top as clear priorities that a lot of or most of the region is already vying for. The hope was that we can get some unilateral support from all of the areas as best we can.
Right.
And so right now we've got a survey out that highlights all of those and gives you the opportunity to weigh in and say, yes, this is the highest priority, and yes or no, I don't really feel like this is pertinent right now, and gives you an opportunity to kind of rank and file which ones you feel from as a regional perspective. And it'll give us not only an indication of what the public actually wants to see, because I think sometimes we as, you know, economic development people get caught up in just trying to make things happen. And we want to have input from broader base than just ourselves. And so this gives us that feedback, and likewise will show us kind of on a visual level where the hot spots are of like, okay, this is higher priority up in Colorado and this one's higher priority in New Mexico and vice versa. But then we can also see, you know, how it plays into their strategic plans as well. So
gotcha. So you are sending this survey out. I've seen it on Facebook, I think, and I've seen it maybe on your website. And others, your colleagues are also sharing this, I guess, to get this multi-state involvement.
Exactly. And so, and we've had, I believe, over close to 250 respondents to date.
Good.
And so that's good. Right. We'd love to see more. There is a little bit of a raffle as a part of it. We have three gift cards out there. So there's an opportunity for either a $250, $150, or $100 gift card as a part of taking the survey. So that is
a little incentive.
Added incentive.
Yes. So please. Thoughts and opinions about this. So
So it's something that honestly, if you have thoughts and opinions on what should be being done in this in the region especially, please do weigh in on that and do take the survey. You know, that we've seen a lot of Facebook comments. Those are great, and we appreciate the input there, but that won't necessarily get as easily ranked in the survey.
Really want them in the survey, those comments.
Right, exactly. So, there's a lot of opportunities there. So.
Good to know. And again, I guess if you do find some consensus among all of the respondents, or at least some majority working one way or another, that kind of helps you and I think your colleagues in other states to say, this is what the communities are saying is their biggest priority.
Right. And this gives us the opportunity to create regional initiatives that can help push bigger projects than we as a singular entity or a region can push on our own.
Right.
So that's the hope from this entire project, is to be able to really bolster projects that are far bigger and greater than we could do just standalone as a region or as a county.
Sure. Warren Unsicker is my guest this morning from Four Corners Economic Development. And as you've mentioned before, kind of some of these big projects would make maybe a big difference. Instead of just having maybe two U.S. senators pushing, you have eight.
Exactly.
From the four states, if they're all working together and up on what we're talking about.
Right. And likewise, federal agencies, too. They'd love to be able to show that they gave a $2 million grant and it gave benefit to four states. I mean, that would be a huge feather in their caps, too, to be able to show that impact from their efforts.
And that these four states have done their homework and they're already kind of working together to make this grant happen.
Absolutely.
Or whatever
absolutely.
It is. So that's kind of what we're talking about. So folks can find this survey again on Facebook, on your website.
Mainly on our Facebook page there. So feel free to go visit us there, and we'd greatly appreciate your input.
Okay, very good. We've been visited by a couple of interim or legislative committees from Santa Fe. Sometimes we think that they only work 60 or 30 days during the legislative session, but the committees meet throughout the year, and they do travel throughout the state. Which is, I think, useful and helpful.
Very much so.
We had one a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, so that was the Water and Natural Resources Committee.
Okay.
And so that was an opportunity for us to share with folks, obviously, about the scope and breadth of the issues that we face around coal. They really wanted to understand that issue. And, you know, a lot of times I think that issue gets boiled down to, well, it's a power issue. We should just replace that with something else, with
power generation.
Power generation issue, yeah.
Not a power plate kind
of
issue.
Yeah, sorry. A power generation source issue.
Right. And get rid of coal, we'll put up some windmills, we'll be fine.
Solar, yeah. And so it gets lost upon a lot of folks, the true impact of that shift. And that's not the issue we face. We don't face an issue of not having enough power or not understanding or being willing to consider alternative sources in the mix. But I think it gets lost in terms of the impact of just removing and kind of just pulling the plug
all at once.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least, you know, more than just letting it kind of fade away slowly.
Right. Yeah. I and one of the big parts of that equation is, you know, people tout like, oh, solar's so much cheaper, it's so much less expensive. Well, that's true right up until you realize that it's only when it's active.
When it's sunny.
Yeah. That you have these 2/3 of the day that aren't served by that source and have to be filled in by something else. And so that raises the overall cost of that source significantly because you have a backstop somewhere, and usually it's something like a reciprocating engine that is significantly more expensive from a fuel cost perspective,
right,
or a battery, which is way more expensive. And so that it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle to a certain degree of the true impacts of these things.
Sure. And is the other part the like just the economic, the jobs, the literal personal stories
exactly,
and things that
and,
we talk
and
about?
And that's just gets completely left behind, or it's again, I think, thought that the solar or wind or something else will replace those jobs, but it's not a one-to-one type situation. You know, you go from 650 to 2030 jobs. You know, it's not a quick fix in that realm, and so I think that's a conversation we keep bringing to the forefront and bringing in front of these folks to make sure they understand this isn't just a one and done or a plug and play type of situation.
Right. And that's important for those lawmakers to understand the consequences of this very long ranging decision, I suppose, that they may play a part in.
Right.
The other part would be, I suppose, tax revenue too.
Tax
and
base
the state
is
certainly
huge.
Must understand that. Coming from San Juan County, which has been one of the major producers of revenue for the state of New Mexico.
Correct.
Throughout its history, I would think, at least recently, the last 50, 60 years.
Exactly. And that's the other piece that really gets left on the wayside is the fact that you pull out these particular fuel generation sources, you lose severance tax. And that isn't brought back when you bring in solar because there's no tax on the sun.
Not yet.
But so yes, there has to be a way to find a way to replace that revenue,
right?
Or it's just going to be a fallout from both from a state and a regional level here.
Right.
So, it's something that we continue to educate them on. You know, I think it was clear. You know, that one of the other things they kept wanting to know is how are we going to diversify? Because I think that sometimes it gets perceived that we're just sitting up here holding on to what we have without any indication.
Oil and gas.
Yeah, that we don't have any aspirations or efforts in play to diversify the economy. And we've made it abundantly clear to them that is not the case. You know, there is vehement efforts to diversify, and there are clear understandings of the changes in the industries, both coal and oil and gas, and how we need to work around those changes.
Right.
But
I'm sure there'd be a lot of support if someone came in and said, we'd like to build a solar farm
south of
Farmington or wherever we need to build it and provide X amounts of millions of dollars of tax base for your communities to maybe replace some of these things that are being lost as some of these units get shut down and things like that at the power plants. But I haven't heard of any of those things.
Well, and the tax base part of that equation doesn't match up either. You know, it's not taxed in the same way, not only from a fuel source, but from a asset perspective.
Sure.
It's not a structure. It's not.
But it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, but yes.
But I still haven't heard of a multi-million-dollar anything.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, there have been some power opportunities in the discussion, especially around the transmission that we have here.
Right.
That is a valuable asset that continues to be evaluated by power production groups. And so there is, I think, some propensity
Good.
For that opportunity, but it is, you know, it's still, that takes 5 years, 4 years. Some it just depends. But it, you know, there's a lot of permitting. There's a lot of things that go into that to make it happen.
Right.
So even when and if it one of those projects is ready to go, it's going to be a while before it actually comes to fruition, creates jobs, creates tax revenue, et cetera.
Sure.
So we keep arguing for, you know, if this is the inevitability, we need time and we need money mm-hmm. to be able to accomplish these goals of diversification and to
right.
Keep the community whole.
And I hear from these, at least I think I'm hearing this correctly, from these utilities saying, well, we're going to replace some of the power that we may be losing by building another plant, but we're going to do it somewhere else. And so it's going to benefit another part of the state. So the state's not maybe losing revenue if those windmills are going in over on the east side or the natural gas peaking plant is going in somewhere else,
well,
but not here. And
yes
that
and no.
harms the local
Yeah.
community.
Yeah. So yes and
economic.
No on that front.
Okay.
Yeah. The one is, you know, PNM has to decide what their replacement asset base is that they put into the mix to fill in the gaps of the lost power generation and likewise meet their renewable standard that they are kind of kicking around right now.
Right.
And but the replacement power doesn't necessarily generate the same amount of severance tax, especially when you talk wind and solar.
Sure.
You're cutting out tax base and replacing it with subsidization, which is a flip mm-hmm. of in revenue perspective.
And so that should get the state's attention.
You would hope, yes. And so those are the kinds of things we kind of try to communicate in our presentations and in our communications with the state legislators. We have another opportunity next week to talk with the Rural and Economic Development Committee.
Okay.
And so that'll be another opportunity to share, especially with those that are very keen to development in the state and trying to draw in jobs and create jobs, how crucial this is to the state as a whole.
Because I think, if I recall correctly, last legislative session, there were a couple of bills introduced that would try to maybe soften the blow or provide some money
yeah.
for your organization to help with economic development and some grant opportunities or things like that.
Right.
And that didn't go very far.
That was Senate Bill 47.
Okay.
And that...
He knows this off the top of his head, and I know, because it's so important.
Yeah, no, and it's stuff that we have been very right. cognizant of. So,
but it may be coming back, right, in the next session or something similar?
Yes. Yeah. So
Isn't that the hope?
There's other bills being kind of kicked around at this point.
Okay.
But it's yet to be seen how beneficial they are to us as a region.
Okay.
So we're going to have to kind of take closer looks at these and make sure there's not, you know, poison pill language in any of them and things like that. So,
and that was some of the concerns, I think, last year, that some folks
right.
couldn't, they loved part of it, but they didn't love all of it, so they couldn't maybe pass
there,
it through the
was,
committees or
there
what
There was difficulty
what have you.
Getting, I guess, compromise
right.
from some of the parties. And so
I'm shocked
yeah,
that would have happened at
that
the roundhouse in Santa Fe, but okay.
That made it difficult to find any kind of common ground with getting something pushed through.
Right. But for a lot, was this the first time folks were hearing about some of these issues, perhaps, or at least getting to the floor for some of these things?
To a degree, but I think that it's something that has been...
Certainly should know about it.
Yeah, at least on a cursory level.
Okay.
Most of these folks are aware of the issue, but not necessarily aware of the sheer magnitude of the impact.
I see. And that was new, perhaps.
Right. So. And likewise, too, in a certain degree, still thinking like, well, you've known or you should have been prepared for, et cetera. Well, that's not necessarily true, especially when we fought vehemently not, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago to preserve this plant
mm-hmm.
and were assured that this would
that would do it.
That was the thing with this,
yeah.
this deal to preserve two stacks and retrofit them was the thing that was going to carry it on into the future.
Right.
And that rug was pulled out from under us right at the beginning of 2017. Yeah, exactly. So that was shocking, and I don't think that's understood either of that we should have, quote-unquote, known this is not, it's a non-starter at that point. So.
I gotcha. So looking ahead, we have another session coming up. It's 60 days.
Yeah.
We're in 2019. And so usually some more bills are introduced. There's more time maybe to discuss these. And that's the hope, I suppose, of the local delegation is to get some state assistance to figure out the future of this plant, the future of the power plant, if PNM is no longer a player.
Right.
Will it still be power generation or will it not
right.
be? And I guess that's kind of the questions.
Well, and yeah, that's one of the things that keeps kind of coming up is, are they going to mitigate or prohibit us from continuing to use it in its current form.
That was part of the language in some of this legislation that didn't go anywhere. Maybe it said, we'll help you close down this plan and give you a soft landing and some money for economic development, but that can't be used for power, coal power generation anymore, that Every site again. Or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the kinds of things that do kind of, you know, weigh heavy on our minds when we look at these things. So, yeah.
It is, a valuable asset. If PNM can't make it work or doesn't want to, perhaps another operator could come in. Again, until there comes a time when we can replace that power or replace those jobs in some other way. I think a lot of folks, you know, certainly would like to see us move away from coal, but until you can replace those jobs and help those families, that is the other part of this discussion that needs to be had.
Exactly.
Well, let's take a short break. Warren Unsicker, he is my guest this morning from Four Corners Economic Development. We will take a short break, everyone. More with my guest when we come back in just a moment here on KSJE. The time is 8:37. KSJE is supported by San Juan County and Kirtland's Riverview Golf Course, the Links of Enchantment, featuring a championship 18-hole course, driving range, and foot golf, which combines elements of soccer and golf. Find out more about San Juan County's Riverview Golf Course in Kirtland online at riverviewgolfnm.com. or at 505-598-0140. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. My guest on the radio this morning, Warren Unsicker, is here. He is Executive Director of Four Corners Economic Development. And once again, thanks for being here.
Thank you again. Pleasure.
Good to have you with us, and want to touch base before we run out of time this morning with a recent trip you made to another outdoor conference. Again,
yes.
This is the big push locally with, I think, most, if not all, the cities and the county on board, and your organization, too, to talk about outdoor recreation, the ORI, Outdoor Recreation Industry Initiative,
that
the CVB, I think, is working with as well, the Commission and Visitors Bureau in Farmington. And so anyway, with that buildup, it is a buzzword, and it's on a lot of people's minds that this could be a way to diversify our economy.
Exactly.
And it's some maybe lower hanging fruit than maybe some other possibilities.
Correct. Yeah. No, this is something that we have, and when I say we, not just Foresight, but all of the regional partners have identified as a truly crucial next step for our community, because it is low hanging fruit. We have all the assets just waiting to be capitalized on here.
Right.
And so, with that, we went to the set for the second time to the outdoor summer show, and I've actually also been to the winter show as well, to really tout the fact that we're open for business for those types of manufacturing opportunities.
Mm-hmm. It's not just the tourists. It's not just the folks that are coming here to try out our rivers and our trails and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this conference is predominantly houses the folks that put the products on the shelves. And one of the things that became really evident at this recent show is we have not only opportunity to produce the end product, but provide a lot of raw product to these types of businesses. So you look at like kayak manufacturers and places like that, we should be producing the plastics that go into those kayaks.
Right.
You've got a lot of injection molding and, you know, waterproofing and various different things like that. And, you've got the likes of Jack's Plastic Welding. They utilize plastics all the time. The other side of that equation was foodstuffs. With Nappy and with all the agricultural production in this region, there's no reason we couldn't be producing raw product for all those food bars you see on the shelves and all the MRE instant meals that are freeze-dried foods.
Right.
And so there's a lot of synergy that we hadn't really even put the pieces together on that were very evident this recent show.
Hmm.
And so I think we have some opportunities to kind of build into the supply chain of outdoor recreation, which will really, I think, help bolster the case for our region as a hub for this kind of thing.
Gotcha. And so at a show like this, it's a lot of the outdoor equipment manufacturers who are there?
Correct.
And they are just kind of touting their goods and their businesses and things like that?
Yeah, their goal obviously is to get into store shelves. So they're waiting for the Cabela's to walk by, or for Sportsman's Warehouse or Dick's or something like that.
Okay.
To some, yes, I want your product on my shelf. And so we're not necessarily their target audience, but we're there to try and encourage them to say, hey, you know, we can provide you a competitive advantage by locating your business here. Yeah, your lower cost of doing business, access to all of these testing grounds for your products, access to clients in a regional scale. So,
and I think I've asked you before, quality of life, I think, for some of these folks. I mean, even though they may be located in a Denver or a suburban Denver or a Salt Lake City, but still, you know, maybe if you tout, you know, a 5-minute commute, that may appeal to some people.
Hands down, and the cost of living not being, you know, Denver. You know, $1,200 for a room in someone's apartment with a, you know, a hot plate in it. So, there's definitely some opportunities here that will appeal to folks that are, you know, especially young professionals that don't necessarily have that wherewithal to be able to afford to live in a nice, you know, condo or buy a nice home in Denver, but can definitely afford that here.
Sure. And so this is your second time going to this particular show.
Yes.
And so I would assume that as you go and continue to go, you make more contacts.
Right.
And it's really
in
a lot of it is about who you know and networking in business, from what I understand.
Precisely. And that is the nice thing, is that as we start to build these relationships, you know, when I go back, I have people I know that I can go to and follow up with and say, hey, you know, we're still here. These are still the, you know, we have some options for you. And in some cases, bolstering that option for them and sharing more about the ORI initiative and how much that's progressed in the year or so that we since we've been there. So,
and I know there's probably a lot of folks that would like, well, what's going to happen when you tell us about the ribbon cuttings and the groundbreakings for these new companies that are coming here?
Yes.
And it takes time. It's not an overnight thing, unfortunately. We'd love to see some direct instant gratification, I guess, from those efforts.
Yeah, and some of it is these are entrepreneurs that are just getting started. They're not quite ready to expand on that level. Mm-hmm. Other times it's, we're expanding, but it's going to be 18 months, 2 years, whatever it may be. And so we just have to keep kind of pinging them and making sure that we're present in front of them to know that when they're ready, we have everything they need to please reach out to us first.
Right.
So that we don't get left out of the equation. So.
And from what you can tell them that we are already doing, I mean, does that seem to be helping your arguments and being able to show that, you know, we've already done X, Y, and Z types of things?
Exactly. And so that helps immensely with them understanding exactly how we can be of assistance, and likewise that we are behind this. Because to put in perspective, the show left the Utah area. Salt Lake City was where it was held previously.
Right.
Because of issues over public land use with the Bears Ear debate that was coming forth. So I'm
this
sure
the state of Utah kind of political.
Yeah, it was a political bailiwick that they were displeased with, and so they moved it to Denver.
Okay.
So that is in some ways the mindset of some of these folks, is that we have to be helpful in educating them, like, yes, we have other uses on our public lands, but they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are not conflicting uses. They are, you know, collaborating uses. And
right.
Our oil and gas companies work with the BLM and with community to help, you know, access to those things. So those are some education things we'll have to overcome and make sure we make them aware of as we move forward. So this is a great place to be, and that we have collaborative, you know, partners in the industry sector.
Right.
So.
And that's an interesting point to make, that a lot of these companies are becoming maybe more politically sensitive to some of these issues in some of these locations.
Right.
And if they're going to put a plant or an office or something, they look at some of these things some cases. So.
Yeah. So, no, it's, I think we are well positioned, though, and we have all the assets we need. We just have to make sure people know about them. So.
Okay. Well, that's why you do the job that you do.
Exactly.
And you travel all over the place to tell people about it. So that's great. Warren Unziger, again, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We will
Always
see you again in about a month.
Perfect.
All right. That's Warren Unziger, my guest here on KSJE, Executive Director of Four Corners Economic Development. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.